Well, we can hold hands and sing. Wheels on the bus.
No. Wheels on the bus go round and round.
Round and round.
There you go.
Or we could do a Gary Culp favorite, the flying young man on the flying trapeze or something.
Oh,
do you have some? If you've got constructs, let them out because we're all fresh out.
So it's a construct that it's aimed at trying to make some sense of this. Mm-hmm.
That's what they all are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the outermost world, we have this, what is called our consciousness. And we operate with our frontal cortex. We try to make sense of everything. We invent shit. We have words.
We
amuse ourselves with theories and speculation.
Yeah. I mean, you can hold the cortex responsible, but it's not even important if you do or you don't. Right?
Right.
The symptoms are still present.
This is a fantasy in the face of nothing.
Yeah, fantasy in the face of nothing, Sangha.
Right.
Right.
So the second level is we have a body mind. So that would be called our exterior mind.
Uh-huh.
Then we operate with a body mind.
Mm-hmm.
The third phase is a mind which is...
What's the body mind? That's the second phase, right?
Right.
What does that refer to?
That refers to the mechanics of our operating. Something's beating our heart. Something's...
What is a phase? What are you talking about? What is a phase?
Well, just different levels of parsing this out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making up stages.
Yeah, there's stages.
From the outside to the inside.
Right.
And as a side note, one of the latest articles in Scientific American came out with a really neat notion.
Uh-huh.
They were looking at the... What it is that holds all the cells together? What it holds us together?
Right. Yeah, what's the adhesion principle?
What the fuck is going on here? Why don't we come apart? Because we can see their parts.
Oh.
You know, there's cells. And they speculate there are 40 trillion. So each of us has 40 trillion.
Well, or twice that. But who's counting?
Right.
Yeah.
And they've discovered that there's a certain pressure between the cells, which pulls and pushes.
Nice.
So if you cut yourself, that's a signal that something's interrupted.
Right. The pressure differential is...
And then right away, guys start making shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cells start, they get a command to like reproduce, to multiply,
right,
make more.
I mean, why does skin heal?
Yeah.
Right. Self-healing, right?
Right. So that's mechanic in there. Doing on all kinds of levels.
Sure.
Anything you can inquire into the biology of us. There's something, it looks like there's some sense. Some operating principle. Some purposefulness.
Sure.
To keep us intact.
Yeah, right.
And then if you really want to go deeper,
okay,
all the way to the bottom.
Well, you're not going to get there, but let's go just deeper.
Right. I'm speculating.
Yeah, of course.
And there is absolutely nothing to know about what's going on.
Nothing to know about it.
There's
right.
Nothing else. No clues, no nothing.
Yeah.
You can make up that you're inspired.
Yes.
If something happened,
right,
the angels talk to you, whatever the fuck you want.
Yep.
You could invent all kinds of emanations from the mysterious nothing.
Yes, and we do.
And we do.
Yeah.
That's great fun.
Absolutely.
And we can build the edifice of a life on top of that.
And we do.
And we do.
Yeah, or this does.
So the curious thing is that this discovery of muscle testing.
Uh-huh, kinesiology.
Kinesiology appears to be in contact with this mystery. And the only thing you can find out about the mystery is what's in the present moment. And it will let you know if you have permission to find out about it.
Okay. Right.
And you can ask, can you ask the question?
Yep.
And it will say yes or no.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Is the genie in or not?
Is the genie willing to talk to this?
He says no. You're fucked. Remember when Tom Hanks was trying to talk to the genie? He had to pull the power out. Right? From that movie Big. Remember?
Zoltar.
Yeah, Zoltar. Yeah. When he went back to find Zoltar, Zoltar wouldn't talk to him, so he went behind and he pulled the plug out.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so Zoltar, the genie's in or the genie's out. Yeah.
So you might ask, what's the point of all that?
Yes, you could ask that.
Yeah, so what? What does that construct do for you, lad?
Yes.
It does seem to have a kind of usefulness in everyday occurrences.
Well, yeah.
Right. Because there seems to be occurrences every day that are on all three levels.
Oh, sure. You can find evidence for the minimum of those three levels and, another 3 million.
Maybe they're more. Right. But at least those three are useful. And it renders a certain cohesion to the day.
Cohesion to the adhesion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which otherwise looks like an endless stream of randomness.
Oh, well.
And then it is.
Yeah.
Right.
But right.
What are you going to do with the randomness?
Well, what has anyone done with anything ever since this began?
So what difference does it make? Make up a structure?
Not much, does it?
No. And you can do that and be entertained by it.
Yes.
So
if it were merely entertaining, right?
So then there's that.
Yeah, there's that.
And then there's a multiple number of different states that seem to be available to be in.
Sure.
Or conditions.
Yes.
So I don't really sleep well.
There's a state.
There's a state.
There's one.
There's one. And I'm really bored with watching the thoughts that
I hear you.
The tape that runs it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Fucking chatter.
I have so many different things to chatter about.
Yeah.
They're all accompanied by upset, emotion.
Yeah, yeah. Most of it is. Much of it is, right.
Oh, my God. There's some old wounds and all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah, oldies but goodies, right.
And actually, you cannot hold on to any of them.
No, you can't, right.
You get a flash of them and they're gone.
Yeah.
And then you get another one and you say, what the hell is that all about?
Right.
Who wants to do that?
Yeah, even being indignantly insulted only has so much mileage.
What the fuck are you worried about? It's a one.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Do you really want to go back and do something about it? No, I don't want to talk to
you. Yeah, really. That's right. Yep. Yeah.
And then there's the flash of what's happening right in front of your face.
There's that, right?
That car is moving and that's going on.
Yeah.
And then there's a state of what I would call momentum.
Momentum? Mm-hmm.
Retaining some recollection of what said, where you would show up at what time, what you would do.
That's nice, like psychological temporal momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can...
appointment setting.
A day just goes on like a flash. You just run from one thing to the next.
You do. Yeah, you can.
There goes the day.
Yeah, even if it's the next chocolate almond.
And
God, I love chocolate almonds.
I know. See? Right. It could be an appointment or the next almond. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's just like, so what is, I don't know what to do about it. It's just a rainbow of shit that happened.
That's a total rainbow of shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Random rainbow.
Random rainbow.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be as busy as we are now.
Understood.
I'm done with that.
I hear you. Busy. Yeah, I feel it. I feel you.
Yeah. I'm okay. If I don't get paid, that's all right. I'll survive. If I get paid,
I'll survive.
Fine, I'll survive.
Yeah, I just don't want to be this busy.
Where does busyness come from?
Right. Good question for the honeybee. Hey, let's make another hexagram. Okay. Hey, let's pull on some wax. I'm there.
Maybe we'll make a perfect one.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really. Yeah, that's right. Let's pack this honeycomb full of honey. Okay.
Anything if I don't want to. I don't have to answer that.
So my distinction is that I've been on the planet longer than you guys.
Mm-hmm. You're a planetary elder.
Yes. And
yeah. That's a nice way of saying an old fart just showed up to the meeting.
I'm a planetary elder.
And when I look at it all, I say, well, you know, what's happened?
How come I don't get any respect?
I don't even care about that. In fact, what am I going to do with it if I get it?
Yeah, no, just make you more busy.
Where are you going to go with that?
Yeah, really. Best just leave me alone. I'll be the village idiot. Back off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, it's good. We have to go to the impossibility of ourselves. We can't avoid it. We have to somehow be confronted by, irritated by, lament over, exhausted by, enraged with the impossibility of ourselves. As a, you could say, a necessary springboard, right? Mm-hmm. For a different transmutative view. Mm-hmm. So all of this inventory that you've mentioned, everyone, I would imagine, can relate to, right? Mm-hmm. Different kinds of mind and different kinds of content and busy and not busy and that this is a rainbow and what do you do or don't do? And you're still right at the center of the cyclone. Mm. Now, it's not so bad being at the center of the cyclone in and of itself, but it's being at the center of the cyclone being imposed upon by so much content, mm-hmm. so many views. Hi.
Hey.
So much pulling and pushing.
Yeah.
And the emotional fatigue, right? The associative emotional fatigue that accompanies all of that rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Because I just want to rest in myself. I want to rest in myself. Not necessarily with or alone. That's not even that important. I just want to rest in myself. And if I'm overwhelmed by content and possibilities and scenarios and plans and, you know, Warcraft strategies, I'm weary. I'm exhausted. I've had it with the impossibility of myself. Sweet. I mean, don't we spend a lifetime if we don't deal with it on those terms? Don't we otherwise spend a lifetime apologizing and habituating, apologizing for it and habituating to it, and never moving, right, mm-hmm. in a new direction, in a new possibility?
Well, a new possibility seems to have to confront the status quo.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Addicted to the status quo.
There's that too. I mean, it's right. All of these are very poignant observations about, you could call it the warp and woof or the geometry of consciousness. And while it's why it seems so recalcitrant, right? Why the impossibility of myself seems so goddamn impertinent and prideful. You'd think if, like, I could come to the observation, enough is enough. Would you please just leave me alone? Then it would reply.
Take a break.
Then it would respond. That I would respond to myself coming to the end of my own rope. And we don't. And you wonder, like, what do I have? Who do I have to fuck? Right? Who do I have to fuck around here to get over myself? It's kind of like that. You know, you just had enough. You're like, okay. Yeah, it's that's that. It's that crazy. We're that crazy. What can you do? Not much. Wow.
Yeah.
Now it's better. I would say it's more potent. I would suggest it's more potent to really have the glee of the confrontation with the impossibility of ourselves than to start doling out, right, amelioratives and remedies or explanations.
Well, that's...
Because those suck.
That's over the damn.
Well, Landmark makes a living by doling out explanations, right, mm-hmm. and strategies and solutions to cope with the impossibility of ourselves. Or to adore and adulate the impossibility of ourselves to a position of great accomplishment, satisfactory life accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, wait, wait. You don't want satisfactory life accomplishment because that's a deferral. That's stupid. You're just kind of medicating the impossibility of yourself, denying it, and then trying to come up with something that makes it look like, no, I can be successful. I can be assertive. I can say yes. I can say no. I can choose. I can attract. Right? And that's like, no, you don't want to go that way. No, just stay with the repugnant impossibility of yourself, because that's where the transmutation is. The other way is just additive.
Well, it's never over.
And it's never over.
Because and the good thing that it isn't, because it's a business model that keeps producing money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the business model that keeps producing money.
Right.
Yeah, Thich Nhat Hanh says, you know, 220 times. It's like, okay, here we go. You know, well, so you mean you're not enlightened yet? I told you to chew 20 times. Well, chew 30. Okay, I'll chew 30. Right? I don't know. What do you do about it? I mean, someone might say, well, be present. Do walking meditation. I don't know. Take ayahuasca. Whatever you got, I'm in. Let's do that. You know, and so you go through all of these catharses of practice and devotion and time on the cushion and yogic accomplishments, maybe fine arts, you know, a thousand things that you do that you can cultivate in the impossibility of the impossibility of the impossibility of yourself to make it look like you're making enviable, adornable spiritual progress. And you don't. You just don't.
Eventually you realize it's gotten you
absolutely nowhere. Yeah, that's a beautiful day.
I didn't hear what you said.
Eventually you realize it's gotten you absolutely nowhere. You start ordering filet mignon and chicken and bag the vegetarianism.
Yeah, that's one way to go, right?
What a way to crass.
Right, all of the ways that I participated in some kind of self-abnegation, right, sensually or otherwise, didn't fucking work. Now I'm going whole hog.
Like, take steroids and smear fluoride
really?
Over
I your took teeth. Vows. I'm done with the vows. I'm gonna smoke pot and I'm gonna give away my robes and see if I can get laid.
Now that's a great.
Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
While
talking. Well, that's right. Here's a bite for you. Here's a bite for me. And let's get it on. And woo! I'm good now. Wow. So maybe there's a remedy, but maybe there's something more profound than a remedy, right? Because a remedy is too superficial, isn't it?
Do we have the equipment to realize the remedy?
Of course you do. Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah, you've always had it. It's like the Dorothy and the red shoes thing. Yeah, she always had the red shoes. But she had to cavort with lions, silver people, and a fucking straw man. And a guy with a big face behind a curtain. And a witch and fucking flying monkeys. She had to dodge. It was so bad. Her life was so bad.
Not the flying monkeys.
She had to dodge fucking flying monkeys with little hats for her to wake up. I mean, we don't have it that bad. look what she had to go through. I mean, Jesus was no big deal. You know, a few lashes, right? A little crown and a spear and a cross. But not flying monkeys. Jesus didn't have to deal with the flying monkeys. Dorothy did. Why don't we worship Dorothy? Why do we worship Jesus and not Dorothy? She had it much, much worse. I got to call the Pope. Does anyone have a hotline? What's his name? Francis? Hello, Francis? Francis, I know this may be a little late in coming, but why aren't we worshiping Dorothy? She had to dodge flying monkeys. And he's like, shh. Let's talk about it in chambers.
Yeah.
Talk about it in chambers.
While he's looking at his altar with Dorothy on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, he's got the red slippers. The fucking Pope has red slippers, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You see, they do worship Dorothy. Oh, they just don't want you to know.
The inside circle.
That's what it's all about. The people on the inside at the Vatican, anyone at the Vatican worships Dorothy. That's why the Pope wears the red slippers. Everyone else, it's like, you guys know, you worship Jesus. You, Jesus, with the red slippers.
If you call and say that, the CIA and the FBI will be at your door within seconds.
They're already, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Someone's on to us.
They're already on their way. All right, so we're talking about, who knows what we're talking about, but maybe we're giving a few moments prayer to the impossibility of myself. To the curious rainbow of randomness,
mm-hmm.
which can appear in my experience as a truly fatiguing disappointment, right? I have become an absolutely exhausted disappointment to myself.
Just when I think there's no way.
That's a good one.
Just when I think there's no way I could possibly disappoint myself more, it's like, no.
You find another way.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's saying something. I mean, we are remarkably creative that no matter how low we go, how frustrated we become, how much blame and shame we heap upon others or ourselves, there's always more. Talk about abundance. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really. Step right up. Hell Realm. 25 cents. 5 cents today on sale. Hell Realm. Nonstop. For the rest of your life, who's in? I'm in. Hell Realm. Red slippers over here. Hell Realm over here. Step right up. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
So you're not here to tell us how to go for the red slippers rather than the Hell Realm.
Well, no, we're all here to do that. Yeah, we're all definitely here to do that, but it's tricky. It's tricky.
Seems like an impossible fucking puzzle.
Yes, good point. It is an impossible fucking puzzle, yeah.
And trying to solve it doesn't really do shit.
No.
Not trying to solve it doesn't seem to feel right either.
That can back up the plumbing, too.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
It might be interesting just to give it all up. I pondered that. It's like, should I just drop all this shit? Just drop it like a dog. Drop it.
Well,
spit it out.
The other day I was driving in the car and that's what I was saying out loud to myself for, I don't know, it was a 40-minute ride, rush hour or something. And as I would, create something to believe in,
yeah.
I would say, not silently, but out loud, mm-hmm. Drop it.
Yep.
Drop it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just kept doing it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But that's what it took. That was the shamanic exercise of that particular evening was like, just drop it, man. Just drop it. Yeah. And then you could see how quickly, instantly, you latch onto a mood, a feeling, a sensation, a story. You start ruminating, right? You start creating stuff, good feeling, bad feeling, neutral feeling, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we remain more or less lost in the morass of imagination. And that's what we call our lives. Lost in the morass of imagination is what we call our lives. And it takes kind of a crazy effort, like drop it, shit, drop it again, to stay with the frequency of the insistence of daydreaming.
And yet it's not a practice.
No.
It can't be a practice because that obsessive sort of mind direction doesn't get you anywhere either.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it works for fun, you know. But so something else needs to occur. What would that something be? Why do so-called enlightened personas that are, you know, on the airwaves, on YouTube, on the internet, in books, and you know, spiritual bookstores near you, what the fuck are they talking about? Have they really solved the puzzle of the impossibility of myself?
I do believe that some of them have.
Okay.
Ooh, it gives me hope.
Because I'm going to go see him right now. I'm going to go warm up the car. Yeah.
So you, but it's that. No, wait. That's
Hugh, isn't it?
Someone
else
solved it, even though you don't know who it is.
No, I know who it is. At least the ones that I've come across.
So who do you think solved it?
Well, I got the short list of people I've experienced.
Santa, Dorothy. Santa and Dorothy.
Alice. I still go to see Alice. Yeah. I get something.
The Sandman.
Sandman. And the Candyman. Mm-hmm.
Totally Candyman. Candyman nailed this.
To go to her overpriced stuff. He's around for me.
Yeah.
He's more accessible and more amazing than anyone. He's just like really low key.
He had a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't go that way.
Going that way, baby.
Yeah, no, stay with...
Especially with the hat. I really like the hat.
Stay with... Tried and true celebrities.
You know, with you, Jeff, it's just freaking fun. Mm. And if that's all you ever get, then you haven't wasted your time.
Yeah, no, that's something. Really. Really. I'll be here all week. Try the roast beef. The body to do. What is it? What if there's a shift, if there's a transmutation, if there's release from the impossibility of oneself, right? What would it be, right? What would it look like? What would it feel like? Mm-hmm. I mean, we use our eyes, our ears, right, our nose, our tongue, our hands, our mind to interface with or construct, you could say, organize a universe out of raw material with, right, no effort whatsoever. And the universe or the associations that occur within these various minds that you spoke about, right, mm-hmm. the ruminating mind, the homeostasis mind, the subtle mind, right, mm-hmm. are all playing their role under no one's control. You are appearing, right, in yourself,
in the midst of
to yourself, with absolutely no control, right? Here, you are appearing in yourself, as yourself, to yourself, profoundly, with...
You didn't have to do a thing.
No control, with no effort, with no choices at all, with no selection.
We're not holding the remote.
Well, yeah, you're not holding the remote. And that observation, which is a felt sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's a felt sense. It's not abstract.
No, it's tangible.
Yeah, right.
By reversing your blood.
Yeah, there's a certain tangibility.
You can go backwards.
Yeah, there's a certain tangibility to the intangibleness of yourself. Yeah. Yeah, whatever this is or isn't, or whatever I am or am not, there's so. It's so, something so. Feeling is present, right? Experiencing is present. Feeling is present, right? The profundity of perceiving. Textural sensitivity, which includes the five senses and, of course, what we refer to as the multidimensional, right, movement, associative movement of mind. So concept, memory, preference, choice, emotion is all appearing, right, in you, as you, to you, not other than you. Of course. And that's not too far-fetched, right? That's not too extraordinary or, you know, spiritual, or I don't have to rely on ascended masters to have a cordial appreciation of my present experience. Okay, that's good. Then that might help because, you know, now the minds can fuck off and everyone else can pretty much fuck off because you're you.
You've been relieved of a burden.
Yeah. Right. So, and that, you know, that could contribute to, let's say, the end of enmeshed and entangled codependence.
Mm. Right. If that's a state to be desired.
Right. If it's
just an invented idea.
Yes.
And where does it get you?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, tell me that it gets somewhere.
No, it can't.
I'll work like hell on that.
Right. Yeah. No, it can't get anywhere.
It's not
right.
going anywhere.
No. No, it's not. That's right. It's not going anywhere. But you see, you being you, whatever that it might suggest, not getting anywhere, could turn out to be delightful. Could turn out to be not just a remedy, right, for what's unpleasant, but could turn out to be a positivity, which is not the reaction to something.
Right.
Not the refusal of anything, right? You being you could turn out to be you being you, not as a remedy, not as a refusal, right? Not as an ameliorative, but as
an embraced condition or embraced state.
Well,
what else choice do you have?
You don't have any choice.
Find another one.
Yeah, you're not going to find another one. Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. I mean, you can take powerful drugs. Mm. You can take intermediaries of all kinds, which could include therapy or more pizza than you should really eat. Right? I mean, because there's intermediaries of all kinds. But what are you going to find? You're going to always find what you already are, whatever this is or isn't. We don't know. That's a little strange.
It's amazing how you can come back from, you know, seemingly heightened, lovely experience and land in your life, and it's like, oh, just this? And yet that's it. It's how you can, like, you turn that into a wasteland while reaching for something that's not there at that point in time, while wishing you had what you remembered having from another.
Anything that's appearing in your experience that's of a referential, psychiatric, emotive, even spiritual, right, reference is just dreamt. See, any reference is completely dreamt. And that occurs, that it's present, that it, let's say, attracts your attention, right? That dreaming, right? Colloquial dreaming, abstraction, hypothetical, rumination attracts your attention, does not really interfere with that you are so. But we could say, geometrically speaking, the presence of discursive rumination and identification with discursive rumination as reality can appear to distract you from the simplicity of being so. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. And so we lose sight of the, let's call it the power, the profundity, right, the confidence in being so, because now we've converted the simplicity of it into a complexity of idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A complexity of idea, of flailing about in space-time.
Yeah.
and being dumbfounded by and the unwitting victim of consequence and circumstance, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the impossibility of oneself. That's where it can easily go. Same fact, whatever the fact is, and no one can really say what it is, but whatever this fact is can appear to itself with remarkable simplicity, which is transmutative and unafflicted, yes? Or it can appear to itself just as easily as an afflicted, right?
Immersion in complexity and irreconcilable.
Afflicted locus, right? Afflicted locus. Yeah. That's that. So the same, I'll refer to it as beatitude, or let's go even neutral. The same fucking miracle that this is, that's neutral, can appear to itself with complexity, which suggests identification and locus. And as long as there's locus, there's other. Right? So locus insists on a split, a duality, self and other. And so the beauty of experiencing of the fact that this is so, that you are so, can be felt as locus and therefore a dualistic split. So there's locus and other, self and other, right? Or that you are a body mind in space time on the, you know, as a bacteriological disappointment on the surface of the earth.
A bacterial disappointment on the surface of the earth.
Yeah, with a big fucking agenda. You know, like, I have to get a Kia Forte. Really? Yeah, yeah. Or Molly owes me money. You know? Or the goddamn veterinarians, they just charge too much fucking money. It could be a million things that creates for you, right? A sense of indignation.
It's insane to watch how quickly that happens. You mm-hmm. know, like you say one word and you're like, uh-oh. And next thing you know, it's like, whether it's you or the imaginary person across from you, whatever, it's like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah. And it's too bad we don't all run around going, drop it, just drop yourself, drop it, drop yourself, just drop, stop, drop it, just drop it. Oh, hi, how you doing? Drop it. You know, it'd be hard to get me work done in the office. Everyone would be like, you know, in their cubicles going, drop it, drop it, drop it, just to get a moment's peace. That's not going to work.
No.
And buying red shoes, you know, that has limited utility. Could you imagine everyone standing outside in the frozen corner of New York City clapping their, you know, red shoes together going, like, Jesus, why the fuck does this? And it just won't work.
There's no place.
There's no place like home, and there's no place to go. Really, there's no place to go. There's no place to go. There's no place to go. That's what I was talking about. She ended up back in Kansas. Mistake. No, don't go back. And you were there, and you were there, and you were there. Oh, it's let's just say this is disconcerting. If this is a random rainbow of bizarritude, and we confront the impossibility of ourselves, suggesting that any reference that we assert about this rainbow of perfect randomness is frustrating, disappointing, unsatisfactory, and rage making.
Yeah.
Now we're fucked. Really, now you've really hit the wall of the failure of your individuated consciousness to help you out. Oh, shit. I don't want to hear it. Right? I just don't want to hear it. And that's how you could say, I mean, it's not fair to accuse anybody of anything, but most primates pretty much, right? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to touch, feel, see, even get a glimpse of this being a random rainbow of weird whatever. I have to create meaning and continuity, temporality, wardrobe, space, belongings, regret, victimization, shame, blame, wealth. I have to drive myself insane pretty much 24/7, or what will become of me?
Well, you can take a break and drive somebody else insane.
That's part of it. That, yeah, definitely. If you know anyone, drive them insane. Yeah, do it today. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because this week, or at some point, it's just, you know, again, that thing where it's like everybody is fucking nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not to say that I'm not. So
we knew that.
How do people not drive you and say, okay, so it's not about love, anything. It's just about finding the person who has the same insanity that you do or a similar one. So
yeah.
That they resonate.
Yeah. It is kind of like that. It is kind of like that. I mean, how many times growing up in your so-called family, you know, as a child, did you say, oh, yeah, I really belong here?
Dude, that was like Thanksgiving dinner. I'm like, how am I fucking related to anybody?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, really.
I just sat in silence. Like,
I think I outgrew that kind of early on. Like, oh, yeah, I really belong here. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad.
Very familiar insanity between, you know, at least at this stage, if I spend some time with my sister, it's like, hell, okay, I get our common insanity. If I spend some time with my brother, even my brother who's, you know, diagnosed insanity.
He's the real, at least he's the real thing. We're all posers.
Anyway. So we have some insanity in common. We have some insanity.
Oh, no.
Really? Is that good news? So this can get very, very strange. When you start to, let's say, peer into and get a sense of yourself and your experience as a simulation, mm-hmm. right? A virtual world, not an actual world, because there is none. But as a virtual world, as a simulation.
It's validated by the extreme disappearance of everything.
Okay.
There isn't anything. So what, it can't be real.
That's an interesting observation, yeah. What does real suggest? Right. What does being real suggest? What does can't be real, right,
mm-hmm.
suggest? Yeah. Right. Now, no one can say with what quality of, call it intelligence or reflection or affection, you become strangely comfortable with the observation with that this can't be real.
That craziness.
Yeah.
Right. So much humor in it. And delight.
Let's hope.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
God, go crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. Yes.
And another way of putting it is this can't last, whatever it is that we grasp in it.
Yeah,
because even the reference point of real, not real, kind of has a little flip trick there.
Yeah,
in the head.
If this moment, too late, gone.
That's right.
I'll try again. If this moment, God damn it, just slipped away. Wait, just give me a moment. If this moment, shit. Oh fuck. I'd like to say something about this moment. Oh, God damn it. That's what you've got. And this rainbow of, you know, permutated, proliferated, highly pixelated weirdness is not shy, right? It's not hiding behind a curtain like the wizard did. It's out front. It's up front with itself. It's like, go ahead. Go ahead, motherfucker. Try to grasp me. I dare you. Here you go. Right? You're driving alongside reality, and what does it do? Flips you the bird, just flips you off right on the highway. No matter where you are, reality's like, hey, Frank, hey. Right?
That's the conclusion I've come to.
Yeah.
On the three major magical phenomena.
Yes, that's right.
That are so big that they can't be missed.
Yeah.
The Kennedy assassination.
Fair enough.
9/11.
Another one.
And Flight 370.
Yeah, okay.
So whoever's up to it knows that you fuckers haven't seen a chance. I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
It's going to vanish. Go figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
What do you care?
Right, poof.
It's gone.
even on a more personal basis, shit just vanishes, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
And then it appears.
Like your memory.
That's what I'm talking about. I can't, like, sand shifting through my fingers. And
yeah.
I didn't think that was organized. Ooh. And I had, like,
my memory.
Good records. And yeah. I could manage stuff. I'm not doing it half the time. It's like, how do I
that's right.
You just take the box over there.
No.
That's and, like, you just,
yeah, that would be too dangerous.
Make yourself comfortable with the
well,
plate.
I mean, you know. What about those days when you were like hormonally irresistible?
Wait, hold on. I'm hormonally tortured. I exactly say irresistible.
I'm not suggesting you're not beautiful. What? I'm not desirable? No, you're still good. Well, those were the days, right? Like sand through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's fun just by playing around with our, call it intelligence, I wouldn't maybe not go that far. Let me wheel that back.
Modicum of
playing fun. Around with our dumbfounded interest in what reality might be or not be, there's a shift happens. A transmutation occurs. Something appears. Call it a certain kind of sensitivity or a certain kind of humor, a certain lucidity. Right? Does? Yes.
There's a possibility that just sort of like, for me, it's like a distancing from this body. Like, mm-hmm. I can just, like, I can get a giggle out of envisioning my body slumping over and falling on the floor, and I'm just like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of got a vision of that today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I slump over and fall on the floor, but I was like, just like a distance from the physical self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
What fun.
This just could be an overactive imagination. But.
Could be. Yeah, but so's not distance from the soul.
Yeah. Like,
an overactive imagination. All this is an overactive imagination, so you may as well imagine whatever the fuck you feel like. I mean, this is not independently real for it to have a set of rules that you would be wise to follow.
Well, that is ripe for... Or, okay, then how do I manipulate so I get what I want? How do I manipulate it so I get, you know, everything coming my way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're really looking at it not being real, why can't we just create whatever the fuck we want?
Mm. Mm.
I don't think it goes.
Well, the first thing you might, rather than create satisfiers for desire,
yeah,
try something even more imaginative. Be without desire.
Well, be fully with desire and just don't pay any fees. It's like desire comes. Resisting it is probably, you know, I find it not particularly helpful, but just like don't, you just let it come and it doesn't have much credence.
Well, speak. What is it when you're present? Speak.
Present tense.
No, speak present tense. Right? Because what you do with your imagination of your life a half hour ago is bullshit. What you think you want to do with the imagination of your life tomorrow is bullshit. But you can play with your profundity here. That's your cutting edge. Yeah. Who needs a hypothetical? It's not going to work. Whatever you've done up to this point failed anyway. You know, let's just lick our wounds and move on. If you think you're going to set yourself up successfully for what's going to happen after now, you're just fucked because you don't have a future. And this is a very potent, could I say, a potent tool for consciousness to see and articulate presently that this is as good as it gets. I don't have a past to remedy. I sure as fuck don't have a future. if anything is going on at all, it's pretty much got to be this.
It doesn't mean anything.
And it does, well,
that's no.
Nor do you need to do anything with it. Right?
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything about it. It doesn't actually mean anything. It doesn't turn into anything. There's not going to be an advantage for you in the future. There may be a lot more misery for you in the future as long as one insists on living, right, hypothetically, abstractly. But if you just hang out with the failure, the total failure of yourself, the total impossibility of yourself, like, right about now. Okay. You don't have an explanation. You don't need an explanation. You don't have to give yourself any advice because you're not going to follow it anyway.
Well, all three of those minds will never stop operating.
Okay.
You don't need to worry about what you're doing.
You could get so subtle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could become, as in right now, so subtle, which you already are, that nothing appearing, whether it's three minds, 300, or 3 million, interfere with you. Huh.
It's happening.
Yeah. And so you could say this kind of, let's call it an inconvenient congestion of identity as locus, right?
Say that again.
Appearing over here.
Yeah, appearing roughly over here, right? It's just, what the fuck, right? Because the affliction of the impossibility of oneself is tantamount to, right, the inconvenience of locus and durability, individuated durability, right? Individuation and duration, not that you need both, because they're both really the same thing, is the myth of self. Okay. And it's good at what it does. I mean, you know, standing ovation, bravos, the whole deal, right? But it's not the only gig. It's not the only game. It's not the only show in town. Thank goodness for that. How's this? Right now, and I don't know what this is, I don't know what now or here are, I just don't, but how's this without locus? Am I reaching too far? I don't think so. I don't think so. How's this without locus?
It's kind of like that.
It's kind of like Tinkerbell. It's like Tinkerbell. Right. Tink! Believe! Tink's starting to fade! Believe! I believe! And Tinkerbell comes back to life. Thanks, everybody! And I'm Peter! Thanks, everybody! Tink, you're okay!
Hopefully she's a hot chick.
Yeah, really.
Who is that one?
Julia
Roberts.
Nice. Does she play Peter or Tink?
She's Tink.
No, but Peter Pan sounds a lot.
She's little, but she's big.
Why is Peter Pan a dyke?
I think that's a hook thing.
I shouldn't say that.
Fascinating. I really thought about that.
Fascinating.
It's not fair to be so.
You could say androgynous.
Why is Peter Pan, who was written as a boy, turns out to be an androgynous creature played by a woman?
Sexual undertones in children's films?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
More obfuscation. Confuse everybody.
Now, this observation, call it that, because it doesn't matter what you say about it, of being locus-free... Good. Right. Did someone hear a clock? Do you know what that means? It's the crocodile! trying to have a really serious spiritual discussion here. I don't know where this is going. Come on, we were almost there. We were so close to being completely enlightened, never to suffer ever again, and someone had to go Peter Pan on this shit. God damn it. We were that close, motherfucker, and then the crocodile just ruined everything. God damn it. I want my money back. This program charges too much, and I don't get anything out of it.
Sounds like every second of my life.
Yeah, exactly. I want my money back.
I was so close.
I swear, I could feel it in my teeth. And it just...
Everything was starting to come together, and yeah. You just had to go and do that.
Yeah, everything was starting to go my way. Then it stopped going my way. And I really wanted to go my way again. Sometime soon. Woo! Yeah, so, I don't know.
Without locusts.
Oh, yeah, that.
No bugs.
Hocus pocus on the locus.
Bippity-boppity-boo.
Bippity-boppity-boo. Yeah.
All the push-pull would be eliminated. Because where would you be pushing towards and where would you be pulling from, right? If there's no literal locus-like time and space point.
Complete.
Called I.
Right, complete. Relaxation, right?
Interesting.
Complete surrender, but surrender brings too much willpower in, you know? Yeah. Forget about surrender. It's not going to work.
Yeah,
just 86 on the surrender. So here's this. And if you feel it, whatever that suggests, if you look at it intimately, if you look at it intimately, presently, right, vital. Feel it. You know, not even look, because look suggests, you know, from a vantage point, right, looking, it's immediate, it is you, so it's silly to look, because look always suggests, right, something at a distance, an object at a distance from self. But when we were using the word look, it's to feel yourself, which you're already doing. You've never departed from yourself. You never have departed from yourself. So you are always, you could say, in the vicinity of yourself as yourself. And that's it. It's that simple. Yeah, you're in the vicinity of yourself as yourself.
Where are you at? In the vicinity of myself as myself.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, how you doing today? Pretty good. Vicinity, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm right on it. So you see, mind, which creates reference points as abstractions to intimacy and immediacy, suggests that you are of a discrete nature, a locus, that you're a point.
I am separate from this. Locus.
Yes. So mind, and there is no such thing as mind, actually. There's just, you could say, reference. There's the impracticality of reference. Although someone would say, well, wouldn't we not survive if we didn't have the impracticality of reference so I could get to the Monsanto, my job at Monsanto? You know? Hard to say. It's worth the risk to find out. I mean, that's when the muggle goes wizard. Because the muggle says, I'm not sure if the impracticality of locus is really necessary for survivability, for thrivability, for lovability, for enlightenment. That's when the muggle goes wizard and says, I want to find out. I don't want to back off from the mystery of myself because I think that my misery is necessary for survivability, for durability. No, I want to go and find out if that's really the case. Whew, that's big. That's like running barefoot. Yeah. You're ready to find out whether whether this, whatever this is or isn't, can be felt
profoundly irrationally, fearlessly, without holding out for some kind of consequence, takeaway.
Do you think it's a limit of our particular language?
No.
We're always objectifying.
Yes, but see, language is not original, meaning language is not causative. Mm. It's not really, really causative. Mm. Language is an artifact of what we would call a more subtle, right, ambiance of intelligence.
So the Japanese have successfully constructed a language
which
doesn't objectify, which is why they're always in debt and always fucked up.
Could be. Yeah. Right.
They can't get out of the world way.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You could look at it that way. Yeah, you could look at the, you know, the language memes across culture and get a sense for the prevailing, right, neurosis of that culture in terms of how the language operates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But language is an artifact of something I would suggest remarkably stranger and subtler. Mm-hmm. It's a symptom. It's not, right, it's not an origin. It's a symptom. As is everything. Mm-hmm. Galaxies are spiral, cells are spiral, DNA is spiral, light and sound and touch, everything is, you know, it's a spiraling iteration of scintillation, right? So it's a sacred geometry.
Vibrating photons.
Yeah, right. So the entire pixelation of all of creation, which includes the miracle of consciousness, is just going... And so language is just, right? It's just another way of going...
I think it's funny, I was reading some book about electrons the other day or whatever, but it's like, it was just so, it's so arbitrary. Like, they're like, well, we say it's negative, but that's arbitrary. That's an arbitrary assignment. Mm-hmm. They actually say that in the book. I'm like, what? And then like, but the whole thing is just like, you just see these pictures and it's like, this leads to this, and then you get a bunch of these, and then you get a thing. And it's like, and the whole time, over and over, it just says zero sum game.
Yeah, zero.
Entire book.
Yeah.
Zero sum game. We used to think these guys were not zero sum game, but then we found out actually these are also zero. Like everything.
Yes.
Nothing ever affects anything really because it's always zero sum game.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking, right? Stephen Hawking. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is nothing.
Yeah.
What the hell? You know,
he admitted his first theory was wrong.
It is nothing. You know, can someone please take me to the human resources window so I can get my check? It's really not. Sorry, it's nothing. We believed you. Oh, big mistake. Sorry. You know, anywhere you turn, right, some kind of documentary on spiritual shit, you know, Kaimata, you know, whatever. These are all lovely, right? 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. Pilots for 9/11, architects for 9/11, engineers for 9/11, firemen for 9/11, housewives for 9/11. Right? Right. Yeah, really.
Whatever happened to 7/11.
7/11, 9/11.
It's just so interesting to see how provocative it is, how blatantly obvious it can display, like, clearly, this is just it, and it's a zero-sum game, and we've known this for a while, but it's so provocative that we just can't even, you know what I mean? It's like...
Right. You are at a can-can lacage au faux. Is that how it's pronounced? Lacage au, right? What? You're at a can-can lacage show 24/7, right? Can-can, right, with the skirts, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And lacage, of course.
Yeah, and you've got nothing. You can't.
Men.
It happens so fast, and you get caught up in something so fast. It's like this.
Yeah,
there's no
can-can lacage, like can-can with the
underwears. It depends on how they roll. Palm Springs, they do it this way, you know. Kansas. Kansas, they do it a different way. Yeah. Uh-huh. We're,
What do you want to, what would we dare hold responsible for this miracle? What? The Big Bang? What? The photon?
The Higgs boson.
The Higgs boson? What do we hold responsible for this miracle? For the 40 or 80 trillion cells, each with that, each of which has its own universe to contend with.
Exactly.
Right? The incredible fractal repetitive cyclicity of morphic resonances occurring through sacred geometric scintillating principles to make it appear as if a individuated biological, right?
Has appeared.
Has appeared on the surface of the planet. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. And we don't teach our children, you know, from whenever, kindergarten or earlier, just to sit back and go, you know, imagine up a storm. At some point, we start getting a little disappointed and irritable and pissed off at them, whether it's, you know, toilet training or pass the spaghetti.
We throw facts around, like, so much. Like, trying to get through this book was so difficult. And it's so funny to, like, read that one drop of water contains, you know, this is total make-believe, but it was something like 300 trillion billion electrons or something.
One drop. Yeah.
Now, if you just keep throwing facts out at me like that, I'm just going to, like, I don't know, pass out, walk around, go get a donut.
Right.
Donut.
I like that.
But if you ask me to, like, sit with a cup of water and, like, feel one drop has, you know what I mean? And, like, just feel the immensity of that.
Yeah.
It's like a totally different experience than just like trying to figure out how many electrons might be in there. You know what I mean? Like,
what book are you reading?
I don't know. Some book that's in my house about quarks and electrons.
Okay.
Been planning on reading for a long time.
Well, here's
it got cold outside, so I started reading.
Here's another fun one. What's present as experiencing is not nothing, right? What's present as experiencing is not nothing. And if your mind, whatever that is or isn't participating in a story, right? Isn't creating imagery that seduces you to agree or disagree with anything, or that tickles, you know, an emotive response. Well, here you are. Right here, your experience is here. Let's say consciousness is what is it? How do you know yourself? How do you feel yourself? What evidence do you have that you're so? When
sensorium, perhaps?
Well,
there's a lot of sensorium.
Well,
it's the first thing.
But underneath the sensorium, right? Underneath the sensorium, aren't you so? It's like the sensorium needn't be the body of evidence that you would present to the judge to say, "Judge, I'm so. And the way I know I'm so, and I'm absolutely prepared to prove it to the jury, is sensorium."
Yeah, if you take away all your senses... I mean, I've never had that happen, but I'm guessing.
You don't even need to remove your so-called senses.
No, but I'm saying you still have awareness, obvious, I would, right?
The isolation.
Well,
every night you go to sleep, you have enough. I mean,
that would be a fun week or weekend. Right? We all take turns or two at a time.
Well, what I'm playing with is that presently... Right here, you don't...
I'm not going two at a time.
Oh, two at a time?
Isolation tank with you.
Really?
Okay, get your isolation tank, Parker.
Yeah. You two need to separate.
This is... I was thinking of two tanks, not one. Oh. Two people in
that. This is an isolation tank. Right.
Oh, my God.
This is not a pleasuring exercise. Please separate.
She's not isolated. Get your hand off my leg.
You are not sufficiently isolated.
Why are you pulling me in there?
I mean, it makes you think. The farts smell and really highly salinated water. I don't know. That's a good one for Stephen Hawking. Stephen, do farts smell in highly salinated water? Let me check. Come on. We're trying to get enlightened here. Stop fucking around. God damn it.
God, I'm having some wild dreams tonight.
The irritability or the impossibility of what we refer to as ourselves turns out to be a management problem. It's a management problem. Because we think all this stuff needs, right? Yeah. It needs attention and or a performance evaluation. I'll have what she's having.
I'm going to get it. It's contagious.
Really? Who needs a tank? That's the dilemma. This the cacophony wants us to negotiate with it. The cacophony is saying, please, please give me your attention. So it's a management problem. Now we think we have to give everyone in our heads a performance evaluation, right? To see who's going to get a raise and who's going to get canned. But the discovery is that we don't need to pay so much attention to, let's call it, the potentially nonstop cacophony of reference to do anything about it.
What's cacophony?
Big sound. Think of a big fullness. Fullness.
If you're in the middle of a big city and there's horns and people yelling and just, it's a cacophony. It's makes no sense.
It's the shit that happens in your mind. You know, all of the things that make you, you. You're like, oh God. Yeah. Oh. Okay, so think of it in terms of consciousness management. That's how yogis function, right? Yogis function very specifically, adroitly, with great care and meticulousness with respect to consciousness management. A skilled yogi does this. Now, there really is... Consciousness is a word, mind you, right? Consciousness is not a thing. That's why we're playing around with this exercise of feel yourself presently as if you were in a virtual isolation tank, and that even your, right, even sensorial feedback or even mental feedback is occurring to you, right? So the so-called witnessing of is what you more fundamentally are, is the primacy. What appears in the primacy is just appearances and primacy, right? So a gifted, meticulous yogi goes in to this, what's present, and says, oh, wow, there's all kinds of stuff that might be clamoring for a performance evaluation. But I've thankfully run out of forms. Right? And so one, let's say, rests in the primacy, not in its, right? Not in the cacophony. Yeah. Now we don't have to necessarily play that game of, you know, just drop it, even though they're very, you know, close cousins.
It's already happened.
Yes. If that would be a practical discovery, that the dropping is actually what's so.
because primacy need not get involved. So the yogi, and this is across culture and across discipline, right? We're using yogi very generically. I mean, someone that does JYNs is a yogi, right? No question about it. If you're giving your attention to the mystical nature of presence, you're a yogi. It doesn't matter the filter or the tool that you're using. So here, what's true? Nothing. Right? Without you conferring, agreeing, asserting, denying, resisting, praying for, what's true? Not a goddamn thing. Primacy is so, but that doesn't make it true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because primacy being so doesn't have a dog in the fight. So true is not even that important. Real is not that important, as in not at all. Mm-hmm. And here you are. Here it is, you, as you, in you, irrevocably you, unavoidably you, as primacy. That's the yogi's game. Yes? If you're doing mindfulness on a cushion, if you're doing even landmark with profound passion, right? Right? You are using what's at hand, which is the beauty of yourself, the beauty of your primacy, the wonder, the affection, all you've got, everything you've got. Peering into, resting in your present nature. And even calling it a nature is like, there's no nature here. What? What? Nature? Nah. So the aperture of your awareness, sensitivity, softens, right? It just, it opens. You open. Not to anything, right? You're not opening to greater vision, greater taste, greater sensual feedback. You're not opening to stuff, right? Because then you're back in performance evaluation. You're not opening to stuff. You could say you are opening to openness. That's a little different, right? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. Rather than conjuring an event, conjuring a circumstance, defining yourself through even, you know, a lens like enlightenment. Why can't we just open, since that's already what this is? Nothing, this never closed, so it's not like, you know, you have to wait till 8:30 a.m. for the bank, for the teller to come in. No, it's always open. It's always open. It's never been closed. But now instead of opening to an accoutrement, a symptom, a circumstance, an event, a satisfier of any kind, right? Open to openness. So you see, your interest is now just you, right? It's no longer subject or object bound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, open. So before I am subject and object bound, mm-hmm. which is just another funny way of saying locus, right? The inconvenience of locus. Before I am subject and object bound, open to what? Nothing but open. I'm not open to anything. I'm open to open. Mm-hmm. And so the, you know, that very curious kind of grasping that we do, which is subject and object bound, which is circumstance and event centric, is completely relaxed.
You want nothing from yourself. Because open kicks ass. It's fucking rapturous. Take that. Oh my God. You, this primacy, is fucking rapturous.
We're not talking Big Bird.
Yeah, we're not talking Big Bird. Well, we might be talking Big Bird. Yeah. Was Big Bird a cocaine user? Or?
I think so.
Yeah. If he had any sense at all. But. Definitely. Or was Big Bird a she? You've never seen Big Bird play Peter Pan. That you've never seen. But we could. Who's the guy that lives in the garbage can?
Oscar.
He could play Tinkerbell. That'd be an interesting twist on.
Yeah, I don't know if you want the Grouch to be Tinkerbell.
I know. So that's that. We going back to your, you know, beautiful original query.
Mm-hmm. Right, wait a minute. They have a Tinkerbell. It's Abby Cadabby.
Oh. Sesame oh, they do. Does? Yeah. Sesame Street.
I was thinking she has her magic wand and choo choo.
We're going back to the same impossibility, mm-hmm. right? We haven't adorned it. We haven't dismissed it. We haven't even transcended it. We don't even give a shit. So it's the same, call it original impossibility, that can be disquieting, terrorizing, boring, frustrating, right? Impossible. That's why we call it impossible. It's fucking impossible. I am fucking impossible. So we go right back to the same scene of the crime, of this apparent impossibility. Now it's like, oh, what impossibility? It's just open, man. It's just open to open. Oh my goodness. The whole time I don't know how I lost sight of it, but I was just open to open. Oh, okay, cool. Now there's no affliction, you see? There's no sufficiency of solidification to make something to be an otherness with enough juice that it's interfering with open. Mm. Right? Yeah. When we get frustrated, cranky, and crazed, it's because it appears that something has actually happened and interfered with you as open. Right? I mean, to have a curious definition of ego or self or whatever you want to call it, it's just an interference pattern that makes it appear as if you've forgotten that you were open. Yes? And it doesn't take much. I mean, it's a homeopathic dose, right? That we all know. It's a homeopathic dose. It's like, you know, how much adrenaline needs to go through your system so that you can turn a car on its side? I don't know, like what? You know, a half a microgram? I mean, it's nothing. Right? Your whole body could, like, you know, eat a cow, rip out a tree, dance with a bear, and, you know, then run the marathon on like a fucking noodle of adrenaline. You don't need much. Well, same thing here with respect to either samsara or nirvana. You don't need much to turn open into interference. You don't need much. It's incredible. I mean, look, we have to drive going, drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it, stop, drop it, drop it. That's how intense we have to reply to how easy this can distract itself. Okay, so that's formidable. We get that. That's cool.
Get it way after the fact, unfortunately.
Yes.
Generally is my.
Right. And that same homeopathic dose, which is nothing at all, also reveals open. That quickly. I'm right? Whoa. It's strange because we used to think that, oh, it's going to take me a long time to get even my little fair fucking share of rapture. Right? I don't even know if it's possible, but I'll give it a whirl because I'm bored otherwise with my crappy life. So I'll try the rapture game and see what I can eke out. Right? But that is then. This is fucking now, and this is rapture, and get used to it.
You can look through, call it the eyes of rapture and the ears of rapture and the tongue and the nose and the touch of rapture, even through the mind of rapture. You can look through the mind of rapture. You can, because you are that. So that everything that might have appeared as an imposition, namely me, myself, and I.
Drop it.
Right? And of course, the wise reply to drop it is just, is rapturous. And that doesn't mean you have to stagger in and out of the bank to draw attention to yourself. It could be fun, though.
It's funny.
Are you making a deposit or withdrawal? I don't know. would you check my wallet and see if I have any cash? That might say, that might tell us what I'm here to do. Excuse me, sir, are you here to check out or are you just staring at the fluorescence? I'm not sure. Is that my basket? Really, really. I'm sorry, sir. You're not seated in first class. I am too. Wherever I am, wherever I am, it's first class. Yeah, really. Can we have a clean-up crew? We got some rapture in the exit row. It was like the Men in Black crew, right? After the aliens would come and make a complete mess of the neighborhood, shooting guns and flipping cars, everyone would get the photograph, and the trucks would come rolling in and clean everything up like nothing ever happened. That's what this is doing, I think, nonstop.
It's just so interesting how loud it could be sometimes. I just want to tell this fucking story so bad. Right,
tell
now
us
I
a story.
Help it.
Please. Oh, don't hold back.
So I'll just wear this tea bag on my head. On Sunday, and for my eye, I guess, apparently, because I can't see, and I'm whatever. But I get there, and, like, I'm all right, you know, but then they tell me, well, which I already know, I'm poor, I have no insurance, nothing's covered, yada, yada, whatever. Yeah. So there's like this whole thing where I start to sort of, do that dance, right? Like I start, it comes a little bit about me, I'm getting a little cranky now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to dilate my eye. That's like the only thing they could do for me was to put a drop in my eye that makes it bigger.
Right.
And they can't. And they're like, I don't understand. We put like 8 drops in her eye, and every time they would go away for like an hour or so and come back, put more drops.
Those are the wrong drops. Look what happened to my ass. It's gigantic. I'm going to sue.
The wrong dial
cord. God damn it, the wrong drops. The ass drops. Sorry. Yeah, that was irresistible.
I know. I set myself up for it.
What happened next?
You're saying it's really big.
No, they just couldn't get the fucking thing. They kept going away. It was just like funny because it's exact metaphor for what he's talking about, right? So it's like, this is like, dude, open your aperture. And I'm like, no, I'm angry. And it's like, well, wait here for another hour and watch some movies and we'll be back to put some more fucking drops in.
Whoa.
So finally, whatever, you know, it opened 3 or 4 hours later after some movies, and I started to kind of feel a little better.
You are that stubborn.
I know.
Even your fucking eyes are stubborn.
I had to go to the emergency room and be given, you know.
Even my goddamn pupils are stubborn.
They're like, I've never seen anything like this before.
Really? They've never met anyone as stubborn as you.
No, I have some kind of uveitis, even more funny. Yeah, uveitis and double vision.
Double vision. That's a go-go bar, isn't it?
Yeah. Along with cat scratch fever, I had to. Anyway, so
it's kind of better now.
Yeah, tell us the end of the story.
I don't know. It was okay.
So it's been getting better with the what they gave you?
That's not the point. You see what I mean? This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Fucking obnoxious.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. But like, if you
thanks for inquiring about my health, goddammit. Mind your own business.
It's been driving me nuts, and that's how it keeps going. It's funny, but I mean, I don't know. I guess there just seems to be some utility in like switching that over to like bizarre metaphor. You know what I mean? Like, instead of seeing it as, like, me being a person in an emergency room, it's, right. like, bizarre metaphor.
Yeah.
That's all the whole thing was, which is bizarre metaphor.
It's weird.
I mean, and not that that means anything. It's not like I have to go home and be like, you really need to open your aperture. You're not in the ER again. You know?
Yeah, you don't do anything with it. But it's funny.
It's just funny.
Brahman is wearing you like a sweater. All that's appearing is simulation. The primacy of you is not born, is not the consequence of your biologic expression. It's just not. All biologic expression, industrial expression, hunter-gatherer expression, right? Cellular, cosmic expression is a simulation appearing made out of absolutely nothing at all that anyone can find. In or of the nature of this self-reflective primacy. Now, even though it may appear to a visitor from another world that we are maggots, destroying the biosphere. Even that is, right, the rapture of primacy. It's just a shift.
It's just
that's not too far-fetched, right?
Right.
You know.
What?
Yeah.
Politically, we have pizza.
Well, politically motivated maggots destroying the very home that sustains their livelihood. Talk about a virus gone fucking stupid. We are the stupid virus. Yeah.
Even viruses aren't that dumb.
Yeah, viruses are smarter.
Yeah, they don't kill very close to you.
Viruses are actually pretty smart.
They stay ahead of, right ahead of the
always ahead of the environment. Curve. Oh, yeah. Right.
They usually at least have a plan on how to get to the next one.
We are not that bright. Yeah. Really. We're not that bright. Highway to hell. Cat scratch. Fever.
I never really knew what that song was about. I think it was pretty inappropriate for me to be singing.
Maybe. Yeah, really.
You were
that girl's infected.
Yeah, really. I got scratched by a cat, and that's actually one of the things that could cause it.
Oh, really?
Anyway. Never mind. Sorry.
Really?
I did.
I am a conglomeration of really serious symptoms.
I'm retarded. I'm retarded, maggot.
Yeah. So what appears in your day in your life in your self slapping delight is the sim. It's a sim card. You don't have control over anything. There are no consequences for anything that appears to occur, which might include even, you know, the cessation of the species, right? This is what, right? But this is a little weird, right? Because as enterprising biobots that have opposable thumbs and neocortices that can create chess games of, right, incredible fervor. Mm-hmm. It's not so easy to find delight in the observation, if not, dare I say, the fact that You are a simulation. You're the primacy to which, in which, as which a simulation is occurring. You totally have to be strange or motivated by very bizarre circumstances and factors.
Like total destruction.
To crawl out of the myth of Moggle. Look at all of the institutions that we hold up as experts in the field. The government, the police, the scientists, the industrialists, those that believe in Christ. Right? Everyone with a belief, regardless of where they are on the hierarchical chain of total hallucination, we invest in as if they know something, have control over things, and that we pray, we really pray, that they might behave in a benign, if not beneficial, manner toward and for us. But all of these institutions, thanks to this lovely, you know, film, Climatica, right, was pointing out that none of these institutions actually possess what would you call it? Mandated authority, systemic authority. It's all fabricated authority, right?
It's all monkey see, monkey do. And
all of the institutions that we obey, that we tithe to, that we pray to, right, is not actual authority. It's contrived. The entirety of the species organizing itself around these various hierarchies of authority is completely contrived.
Well,
I don't know. And why? And the question that the film was raising, I didn't do the whole film, but, you know, the question that the film was raising was, what is it in our nature, in the privacy, the sanctity of you, that lends itself to externalizing authority, knowledge, truth, and reliability?
That's the big question.
So that I can feel protected by, right, the fascism that I'm lending my money and my soul to. Why do we have all these weapons in the sky going, bah, 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 bah? What is all the warfare going on? What is all of the, you know, the crises over water, crises over food, crises over climate, crises over education, crises over health? It's nonstop, right? I mean, we are in an absolute soup of nonstop, exaggerated crises everywhere you turn. Now, that is that true? I mean, I don't know. Is it true? Does it have sacred independence? Does it possess it? No, it can't. So it's right. It's an effluent of something stranger, something more intimate. That these institutions. I mean, look at the founder stories. Christ, they really beat the shit out of Christ. What did they do to Muhammad? I mean, you know, Moses didn't have it so easy, or Abraham didn't have it, right? When you look at all the founder stories, or whatever, or however many years Buddha was in the forest and debasing his flesh and doing all these things, you know, these extreme yogic things that he was purported to do before he came to the so-called middle way. You're like, and we become dupes, products of all of these founder stories, as if those fuckers have the truth, have the God-given connection with the Father. And we should obey. We should fall in line and obey. We should do monkey see, monkey do, just so we can sit under the banyan tree and get out there. You're like, what the fuck? How did these pernicious means enter, infiltrate, and steal the attention of the entire species?
storytelling?
Yes.
Well, like, it dawned on me, like, the other day, like, it's so easy. Like, if I were to tell a story about this moment, it'd be so oversimplified, it'd be retarded. So, like, if you're trying to tell a story about someone's life, that's, like, in that sense, it's going to be, it's retarded. It's a stupid children's stick figure, retarded, make-believe thing.
It's wild.
This seems to like to do that.
Yeah.
Seems like to get a real kick out of it.
And if you really don't possess, for fun, self-will, self-determinism, choice making. If you really are a simulation, if you really are an afterthought, either enjoying the bliss of your emptiness or raging against it in one or a thousand ways, then what could you possibly hold responsible for the disappointments that the so-called species might be suffering from? I don't know. What? It's too strange. It's like too strange. Whatever might be appearing in however many simulations there are, because everyone's consciousness is kind of unique, right? I don't know how you're experiencing whatever I would call this moment. You appear in my dream as an animated puppet that I can talk to and have fun with, but otherwise you're as distant from me as, you know, Saturn. And so it's strange that we could have, what, 7-point-something billion concurrences of profoundly creative, intelligent, and wacky biobots dreaming their own dream, living really in their own individual simulation that we could never tap into. I cannot tap into someone else's simulation.
It's only a story that they're out there. It's only a story that any of you people here are even real. It is just
historical.
You don't know. All you know is your immediate experience.
This is weird. Right. Yeah. You have your immediate experience, and your immediate experience happens to be, let's say, by tautology, all that is.
Yeah. Fascism and all that stuff is no more real than the Big Bang.
Right.
It's just a story of what's out there.
Yeah.
Well, all we know now is there's one piece of pizza left. There's, you know, a candle.
And we might draw blood going for it, yeah. Yeah, very, very bizarre. And even what we say about what might be, right, appearing as so is, yeah. I don't know what any of that has to do with anything at all. But I think it's fun to play around with the possibility of, you know, being together, speaking together, feeling together, whatever that might mean, and just seeing how this wants to play out, seeing what occurs in your experience, how it plays out. Then creating...
That's the way we love this night.
Then creating a solution or, right, an explanation or a to-do. Because we are the autopoiesis of, right, the holy sacred. We are the autopoiesis of the holy unfettered sacred. We just are that. So, wow, we can actually hang out and
be in that.
Yeah, just play with it. Let it play with us. Play with it with each other, just like Sandbox. And, yeah, that's that. It's like fuck enlightenment. That's like, you know, that's so 2014. You know, this whole notion of trying to get a thing, being on the lookout for an event, wanting it to be permanent, right? Wanting to imagine that I could be unafflicted permanently is affliction.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. So presence, whatever presence is, and nobody knows, that's good. The good news is just, oh, here this is.
Even just getting wind of whatever it is we're talking about, it's like, it's interesting how that became something special and I got all hyped up about it and then it was like, nope. Once again.
Yeah.
Right. You've been duped.
Once again. Duper, duper, duper do.
God damn it.
Drop it. Yeah.
We're good. Thank you everyone for coming. Pebble Hill would appreciate your contribution.
Thank you for all the laughter, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I even remember playing like laughing games. You start with a fake, you know, so just hearing it caught up.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
But then you were laughing and then just because it was great.